word of God. We know that Jesus told Satan when he was tempted to turn stones into bread that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let's bow our heads as we prepare to hear the word and divine truth this morning. Father, I come to you as your humble servant, and I empty myself of self and ask that you would fill me with your spirit, and may your anointing rest upon me to speak to these people that you love so much, and may they hear truth. And in order for them to hear truth, their ears must be activated. So he and she that is gathered together today and listening online, he that has an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church this morning. Satan, I come against you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not disrupt these people. You will not cause their minds to wander. You will not steal the word of God that's about to be planted into their hearts. They will receive it in its fullness, and it will produce 100-fold fruit. They will grow to be trees of righteousness. I come against your attacks of their minds, your attacks of their homes. Satan, you're a liar. We come against the division that you tried to bring in our nation and in our churches. You will not be successful. As a matter of fact, you are already defeated. You are already under our feet. For the word of God says that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. So God, I thank you right now that these people are about to hear truth as it relates to your word. And not only are we going to have faith deposited into our spirit by the hearing of the word, but Father, I thank you that this faith also comes with some works, because your word of God says that faith without works is dead. So we're not just here to hear, we're here to also do and perform what the word of God says so that we might find success in our lives. Bless us this day with your holy word in Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God praise again. You can never praise God too much. It's just impossible. So we're in a series called Plugged In. And last week we started with the first segment of this series. And we're going to do a little bit of review. So if you weren't here last week or you need reminded and some of those truths need to be stirred up, you can receive them again now. So we are going to be plugged in. So some of the revelations we got from last week's message is this. When you're plugged into the world, because you can only be plugged into the world or plugged into the kingdom of God, all right? You can only be connected to one. We can't love both. We've got to love one, okay? So when you're plugged into the world, you're powered by lust, because all that is in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So if you connect yourself to the world, if you hunger and thirst and love the world, you're going to be powered by a lust for the world. And let me tell you something about this lust. It will never leave you satisfied. You will always want more and more and more and more, because there is no satisfaction. However, when you're plugged into the kingdom of God, which is within, where's the kingdom of God? Within. Where's the kingdom of God? Within. When you are plugged into the kingdom of God, which is within, you are powered by righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you've got to make decisions sometimes. You've got to do a check under the hood, a check of your attitude, a check of your spirit, and say, what am I feeling right now? What am I hungering for? What am I connected to? And if you don't have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, it means that somehow you've come unplugged from the kingdom and plugged into the world, and you're looking for satisfaction from things that cannot satisfy your soul. Do we understand? When you are unsatisfied, it means that you've come unplugged from the kingdom. Because in God is full satisfaction. In God is a fullness of righteousness, a fullness of peace, and a fullness of joy in the Holy Ghost. So we can tell what we're plugged into by the energy or the fruit that is being produced. Number two, how do we know what we're plugged into? This is how you tell if you're plugged into the world system or if you're plugged into the kingdom of God. You can tell by those things in which you are looking for fulfillment from. What are you looking for fulfillment from? Can I sit and watch Netflix for 3 hours and think that's going to fulfill me. No, it's not. When you're looking for fulfillment from the world, you're plugged into the world. When you're looking for fulfillment from God, you're plugged into God. And we know that God doesn't leave us wanting. He causes our cups to runneth over. He says, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. People, we cannot afford to be in love with the things of this world. For the word of God says that if we love the world, then the love of God is not in us. Let us not be fooled by that. How else can we know what we're plugged into? What are you using your body for? What are you using your eyes for? Your hands and your mouth? What kind of things are you satisfying yourself with? We know that David said, "No evil thing will I set before me." He messed up when he lusted after Bathsheba, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to use my eyes for that anymore. He had Uriah killed, and what did he say? I'm not going to use my mouth for that anymore or my hands for that anymore. You can tell what you're connected to by what you're using your body for. Are you using your body for sinful pleasure, or are you using your body as service to God? Are you saying, God, here I am. I present myself to you as a living sacrifice. So there are two things we must do to plug into for spiritual fulfillment. Number one, we must have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Everyone, please put your hand on your stomach and pray this with me. Lord, awaken a hunger and thirst for righteousness that I've never experienced before, in Jesus' name. Because listen, whatever you hunger for, that's where you will look for fulfillment, all right? When I am hungering, sometimes I get scared to talk about food. I talk about food so much, and then I lose you, but it's just how I relate, all right? When I'm hungering for Kewpie, I don't go to Wendy's. I go to Kewpie, all right? You go after what your hunger is crying for. Whatever you're trying to fulfill, that's what you're hungry for. So if you're hungry for the world, you're going to be trying to fulfill worldly pleasure. But if you're hungry for God, you're going to be trying to fulfill spiritual pleasures. You're going to be praying more, fasting more, in the word more. And this shouldn't scare you, but we got to be honest with ourselves. Your time, how you spend your time, dictates what your hunger is. The things that you search for and the things that you spend time with, you are quenching a hunger and you are quenching a thirst. And if we're never reaching for the Bible, never worshiping, never praying, then what is happening is our bodies are crying out and loving and hungering after this world, and we can't afford to do that. The second way that we plug in spiritually is this. After we have a hunger, we must begin to seek what is spiritual and related to pleasing God. So if you have a hunger for God, you will seek the things of God. I'm going to say that again. If you have a hunger and a desire for God, you will seek the things of God. But if you have a hunger and a desire for the world, you will seek the things of this world. And if you eat the things of this world, they might be sweet in your mouth, but they will be bitter in your stomach. They might be satisfying. Sin might be satisfying for a short time, but in all eternity, there will be pain and there will be separation from God. Do you know why? God doesn't separate us at the end from himself because he wanted to. You have free will. So if you spend your whole life separating your things self from the things of God and going after the things of the world, honey, you're a goat already. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Goats will eat anything, but sheep have a special diet. I'm begging you to pray that prayer and really mean it today. Lord, give me a hunger for the things of God that I might begin to seek that which is spiritual. Amen? Amen. So that was part one. See, you got to come and listen so I don't have to preach two messages, all right? That was last week's. Now we can talk about this week. And this week we're talking about being plugged in to God and finding strength in weakness. So What is it that we're actually plugging into God? What we are plugging into God is our weakness through faith. We think that we've got to be strong to be godly. And I'm trying to tell you that you've got to be weak to be godly. We think that we've got to clean up our own lives before we begin to serve God. And I'm trying to tell you that you bring that filthy life to God and he will clean it up. We think that we've got to be on top when we approach God. But the truth is that he finds us at the bottom and brings us to where he is. So it is our weakness alone that we plug into God that we might have his strength. You see, God doesn't need you to be free from addiction before you plug into him. He needs you to plug your addiction into him so that it can be overturned and overpowered by his glory. God needs our weakness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 8. And it says this. This is Paul praying to God about some affliction that he had, some messenger of Satan that was sent to keep him from becoming prideful. It says this, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Three times this happened. He said, my grace is all you need. Say this with me, church. His grace is all I need. So you don't need the circumstances to change for you to be strong. You don't need God to come and do some miraculous miracle every single day of your life for you to be strong. All you need is his grace. My grace is all you need. Why? Because my power works best in weakness. This is Jesus talking to us, giving us the key to victory, giving us the key to power, telling us that you don't have to be strong, you've got to be weak. My power works best in weakness. So once Paul had that revelation, he was able to say this, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. So church, are you boasting to God about your weaknesses or are you whining about them? Because whining doesn't move God. Complaining doesn't move God. But if you're willing to give him your weakness, he is able to show up and do all those things concerning us that will lead to his glory being revealed in the situation. Let's continue. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships, persecutions, and trouble that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, my father, over 5 years ago, knocked on my door and told me that God told him that it was time to pass the church to me. And I said, he did? He said, yeah, he did. He said, I can't believe it either. I don't think you're ready. Oh, thanks, Dad. Thanks for the vote of confidence there, all right? And so after Dad left, I began to ponder and begin to think about some things. And I said, you know what? I'm a college dropout. I've been arrested before. I never went to Bible school. I've never been a pastor. God, I said, I don't have any experience being a pastor. And he said to me, I do. Wow. That settles it. So what he was saying is this. I don't call you because you're smart. I don't call you because you're strong. I don't call you because you're wise. I call you for my glory. And if I can show the world that I could use somebody as weak as you, then I will get all the glory from it. So listen, saints of God, whatever you're going through this morning and you feel like you are so totally weak in that area, it's time to plug your weakness into God and just know that his grace is sufficient. And there's something about God that he knows exactly the moment he has been plugged into. Jesus knows when you have plugged into him by faith. I'm going to say it again. you've got to blow your faith off, get the dust off of it, and stop crying and worrying and complaining and bellyaching, because none of that stuff is moving God. And when you blow the dust off your faith, when you say, I have tried everything else but this, and you say, God, I give it to you, I plug into you, I promise you, at the direct moment when you plug your faith into God, he feels something. Pastor, where's that at in the Bible? Let's go there. Let's go to Mark chapter 5, verse 24. It says, Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. So listen, for 12 years she's been suffering, and for 12 years she's been plugging her problem into doctors. Is there anything wrong with doctors? No. But there is something wrong if your only hope and your only faith and your only trust is in a doctor. So for 12 years she had tried this and nothing had happened. Over the years she spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She heard about Jesus. Let's pause right there. Listen. When you plug your problem into anything else but Jesus, okay, it does not get better. It gets worse. Stay focused on me. That's just the enemy trying to steal our attention. Satan, the Lord, come against you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not distract this service. You will not distract this word. We take full authority over you right now in Jesus' name. And church, when you see distractions and you see things like that, don't stare, declare. Just begin to pray and say, Lord, I just bind that spirit right now in Jesus' name. All right. You know, the message has got to be good if Satan wants to show up and distract things. Right. So don't lose focus. Now, let me rewind. When you plug into the problem, it does not get better. It gets worse. She, for 12 years, was spending all of her money and time plugging into doctors, and after she had spent all of her money, the Word of God says that she did not get better. It actually got worse. So let's continue now. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 27. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Listen to me. Within every single one of you, God has deposited a measure of faith. And this faith doesn't cost you anything to have, but it'll cost you everything to use. You've got to be willing to look past every other source of help and say, you know what? I'm done plugging into the world. I'm done plugging into this and that. And she determined in herself this. Not that if he can pray for me, not if that he could say my name, not that if he could come to my house. Her faith was raised to the expectation that even if I just touch his robe, I will be healed. See, listen, she didn't say, if I can just plug into a revelation from heaven, or if he can just spit on some mud and put it on my eyes like he's done for others. She said this, my faith is to the point that if I can just plug into his robe, I don't need him to see me. I don't need him to touch me. If I can just plug my faith into his robe, I will be healed. Verse 29 says this, immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition. Verse 30 says this, Jesus realized. Can you say this with me? Jesus realized. I told you that when you use faith and you plug it into God, that he will know that he's been touched by somebody that has faith. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" Now listen, the story didn't say that Jesus had heard about a woman who spent all of her money for 12 years and was getting worse. That didn't move Jesus at all. But he was moved when she plugged her faith into that garment and said, "Who touched me?" What would you rather have Jesus saying about you? "Who's complaining?" Or, "Who touched me?" He realizes, hallelujah, he realizes when we touch him by faith. He realizes that there is a difference. When someone believes on him, it says virtue left him. And listen, it wasn't even by his permission. But I'm trying to tell you something, that God has given us a faith so strong that we can just reach out for God. And if we believe that thing that we are asking, he will do it for us. Jesus is a healer. And that's exactly what she got from him. Verse 32. But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Say this with me, church. My faith can make me whole. It's by your faith. Let's go to James chapter 1. Listen to this, church. We're powered by whatever we're plugged into. Whatever has our focus, our hunger, the treasures of our heart, if we are double-minded, listen, church, we got to listen, especially in this hour in this country. If we are double-minded, attempting to plug into what is sinful and what is holy, we will blow a heavenly fuse, and our supply, receiving the goodness of God, will be disconnected. Now listen, I used to work at the Allen County Jail before I was a deputy, and those guys in there would do some foolish things sometimes. One time I saw a guy take a paperclip, put it in a dictionary, and then he was just about to stick it into a socket. Why? Why would you do that? Whatever you connect to, you're going to be powered by. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, whatever you connect to, you're going to be powered by. So listen, church, God is tired of us trying to connect to those things which are unholy and then later on trying to connect to those things which are holy. And he's saying this, if you're trying to plug into both circuits at the same time, you're going to blow a fuse. And all the goodness that you receive from me is going to stop. And the reason for that is because you're double-minded. You're seeking after the things from the world, but yet you're seeking after things from me as well. And that's not going to happen, as found in James chapter 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Where should your faith be? In God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So you can't plug in to be a Christian on Sunday morning, unplug, and then on Monday morning you plug in and you're cussing people out at work and you're lusting after women and you're doing this and doing that. And then comes Wednesday, so you unplug from the world. And then since we have church on Wednesday night, I'm going to plug back into church. And God is saying, you know what? I'm tired of that. You're not going to get anything from me because you're double-minded. And the word of God says that a double-minded man or woman should not expect to receive anything from God. So what we must ask ourselves is this: what is the power source of every aspect of your life? Do you have cords that lead to the world and then have some cords that lead to heaven as well? That's what this looks like. Look, so imagine all kinds of cords coming out of me. So I got one cord going to heaven where I'm trusting God for my salvation, and then I've got some cords connected to some things in this world. I've got some addictions to this and some addictions to that. My trust financially is in how much money I have in the bank, so I got this cord that has to deal with my provision. And if I plug into the world, then that means that I am my provider. So we've got all these plugs that come out of our lives, and God is saying, I'm tired of you trying to plug into heaven with some of your life and plug into the world with some of your life. And since you're doing that, I am fed up. The whole thing is going to short circuit. You're double-minded. Don't ask me for anything until you can have allegiance to one. No other gods before me. No other idols before me. You must choose this day whom you will serve. Will it be God or will it be money? So listen, church, we've got to begin to unplug some of those cords in our lives and plug them into heaven. Stop plugging the marriage into earthly things and plug the marriage into God. Stop plugging our lives directly into our children and plug our children into God. We must be plugged in. And let's just remember Brother Paul. Brother Paul, while he was Saul, was plugged into religion, plugged into a zeal for God. And at one time, he was powered by this religion. And even Stephen was stoned. And it says that Saul stood there at the stoning of Stephen and fully supported it. He thought he was a man of God. He thought he was doing right by God. But he was hard-hearted towards the Holy Spirit. He resisted the Holy Spirit. And when you resist the Spirit of truth, you'll find yourself powered by a lie and the father of all lies, who is Satan. So, church, the Holy Spirit is in this world to lead us and guide us into all truth. We must stay plugged into him and not resist him. Amen. The reason being is this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that in the last days, people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They'll plug into pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. The most dangerous people in this world are people that carry the title Christian but don't have the heart of Christ. You gotta stay unplugged from them. Love them, but unplug from them. The Bible says have nothing to do with them. Pray for them, love them, pray that they come back, but we can never be powered by people. We can never find ourselves powered by people. And I went through a bit of, I won't call it depression, I'll call it discouragement, 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was just a season of discouragement because I was plugging into the people. I love you guys so much that sometimes I plug into you. And if you aren't excited, I'm not excited. If you're not here, I'm not here. If you're not in it, I'm not in it. And God says, you can't do that. You can't plug into the people. You plug into me. Because if I plug into you, I'll minister to you what I think you need. And God said, ministry doesn't come from what you think the people need. Ministry comes from what I tell you. So you stay plugged into me. And God gave me deliverance from you guys. I'll shout myself, woo! I got delivered from the people because people don't always act right. They don't always give right. They don't always pray right. They don't always do right. And he gave me permission for one thing from the people. He said, you can get this from them. If they want to encourage you, you get some of that encouragement. You get some of that because the Bible says that we should esteem others higher than we esteem ourselves. But you know what I won't let you do? Discourage me. Can't discourage me. And listen, that's the same way that you should treat the people around you. If you want to encourage me, all right, hoorah. But if you want to discourage me, goodbye. All right, that was fun to do. You want to do a goodbye? Goodbye. all right? But if you want to encourage me, hey, I'm all for it. Because there's a great danger as we close. There is a great danger that comes from plugging into people. Do not plug into people. See, some of you at your job, you're plugged into your boss, all right? And you're doing everything to please the boss. And listen, nobody at work likes you. Do you know why? Because they can tell that you just go around, you know, chasing after the boss. No, no. Brother Byron said it in his prayer this morning. When we're at work, we don't plug into the boss to please the boss. We plug into God. We do everything as is unto the Lord, amen? So we've got to unplug from people because the people can turn on you. Jesus wasn't even plugged into the people. Because as he rode in on that donkey, and they began to wave those leaves and say, Hosanna, 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 all right? Just a few days later, they were saying, crucify him. The people will flip on you. So listen, don't plug into anything but God. Even as it relates to your pastor, plug into me as I plug into Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ, amen? All right, I'm losing some people, but it's still the truth. All right, we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and this is our closing as we talk about the danger of plugging into people. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. It says this, the Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Soko and Judah and Azekah at Ephes-Demum. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the Valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposing hills with a valley between them. So right now in this world, we know that the kingdom of darkness has set itself up against the kingdom of light, and there's a valley between us, all right? Verse 4. Then Goliath, okay, so Goliath wasn't just a man. He was a man with a demonic spirit on the inside of him. Because the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, okay? So it's always something deeper. So Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor. And he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. So this was a bad dude, all right? The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. So just listen. Now listen. This is how Satan got in a man named Goliath. But Satan gets in different things too, like a disease called COVID, all right? So just as big and bad as Satan made himself appear in Goliath, he can do the same thing at any time he wants through any other means. So right now there's a giant in the land, which is really a midget that's under our feet, a giant in the land called COVID, all right? Verse 4, verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight, he called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul. What did he call them? Servants of Saul. He did not call them servants of God. He called them servants of Saul. And we will soon see that this army had disconnected themselves to God, from God, and was connected to a man named Saul. Let's continue here. He stood and shouted at them, said he was a Philistine. In verse 10, he says, I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. Remember what I said. They were not connected to God. They were connected to Saul. So let's look at what happened in verse 11. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. So if you're connected to somebody that's scared, you're going to be scared too. Now, there's some people in the church right now that are terrified of COVID and terrified of a bad economy and terrified of, if you connect yourself to them, their fear will become your fear. So you need to connect to yourself to somebody that says, I am connected to the Lord, my God, so that when they connect to you, they'll be connected to God. Amen? That's so important. 1 Samuel 17:16 says this, for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champions strutted in front of the Israelite army. And we know that the number 40 is a number of testing, okay? So for 40 days, Goliath came out and began to taunt them, and the army and their king, they stood there in their boots with their knees knocking. And then just to summarize, David's father sent him to check on his brothers and sent him some food to eat as well. And when he got there, he began to hear Goliath taunting his God, all right? And this upset him greatly to the point where he began to ask, well, hey, what will happen to the man that defeats this giant? See, everybody else heard loss, death, destruction. Hallelujah. But when you're plugged into God, what everybody else hears as failure, you hear as an opportunity. David heard opportunity knocking and said, well, what happens to the man that defeats this giant? And the word got back to the king that someone was asking about, who was it that can defeat this giant? Well, see, David had to walk past his brothers before he got there. And his brothers were saying, you know what? Get out of here. You're just nosy. Remember what I told you, saints? Don't plug into people. Because if David would have unplugged from God and plugged into his brothers, he would have said, okay, I honor you guys. I'm going to get back home. You know, it looks like you guys got everything under control here. Nope. David moved right. He stayed plugged in the whole time. Moved right past his brothers, and he was called into the company of the king, the nervous king, the scared king. How scared was this king that he was willing to put all of his armor on a boy and send a boy out there to fight? Trained warriors all around, but warriors are no good if they're not plugged into God. You've got no fight in you if you're not plugged into God. The problem was the whole army was plugged into Goliath. And whatever you're plugged into, you're going to receive the energy from. And the energy that Goliath was sending to them was, you're nothing. You are fearful. You are weak. And even your God is nothing. But what made David so angry was that this, he said this, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that has the audacity to defy the name of my God? And then when David was in the presence of the king, as he was still plugged into God, he remembered some things. He remembered his testimonies. Listen, when you unplug from God and plug into the problem, all that comes to you is depression. All that comes to you is sadness. All that comes to you is your failures. But when you plug into God, he reminds you of how big he's been in the past. David said there was once a bear and there was once a lion, and God gave them to me. And just like he gave me those animals, he's going to give me this giant. See, that kind of talk made the whole army say, send him. He's the only one with faith. Church, I'm asking you this. I'm asking you this, that you be so plugged into God that your family begins to call you on the phone and say, hey, will you pray? I want to use your faith. I want you to be so plugged into God at your job that you begin to get promotions even though you don't have degrees, because they begin to see that you are plugged in to God and there's something different about you. So as David went out to meet this giant, the giant had some jabs for David and just said, why are you sending this dog to me? Why are you sending this boy to me? And I just want to read you what David said to Goliath. And here's another way that you can tell if you're plugged into your problem or plugged into God, by how you talk about the situation, by how you talk back to the enemy. Did you know that you're allowed to talk to the devil and say, Satan, get thee behind me? Some of you let the devil talk to you too much when you need to be doing the talking. And say, Satan, get out of here. The Lord rebuke you. You can tell if you're plugged into God or to the problem by the way you talk about the problem or to the problem. Listen to David, verse 45. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. So David was saying, I recognize your weapons, but I'm still not afraid. Church, when are we going to look at Satan and his weapons and say, I'm still not afraid? I'm still not afraid of COVID. I'm still not afraid of a bad economy. I'm still not afraid because the word of God says that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Only a man or woman plugged into God talks like that. He continued to say, I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. David didn't have a sword and spear. He was just a weak shepherd boy. But I told you, what happens when you plug your weakness into God? He becomes your strength. As Goliath moved closer to attack, let's look at which way David ran. Now, for 40 days, Goliath would come out, and Israel army and their king would run away. But let's see what happens when you're plugged into God. As Goliath moved closer to attack, so the devil was coming right at him. What did David do? David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down onto the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Church, I want you to stand up right now. The Bible says that David had no sword. But I want to tell you right now, can all of you raise your right hands up into the air? Raise your right hands up into the air and clench them like a fist, like you're holding something. Now, David did not have a sword. But every single one of you, yes, God. Every single one of you that have been called into the army of the Lord, you've got a sword, and it's the sword of the Spirit, and it's the word of God. And as you begin to use the word of God, there is no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper. You just speak the word and speak the word only. Father, I pray for these, your children that have gathered in this place today. I pray that they would recognize that they don't have to have the weapons that the world has. They don't have to have even the money that the world has, the goods or the resources that the world has. They only have to have the one who has the world, and that is you. Father, forgive us for being like Israel's army at times and standing and hiding from the Goliaths that the enemy gets into, God. And help us when Goliath runs toward us, that we be so plugged into you that we run towards him, God. Because victory is already ours in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray for those who are weak in this place this morning. Those who have addictions, marital problems, anger issues. Whatever it might be, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you will begin to bless them. Those who are out of their minds, God, those who are possessed right now by the enemy. Satan, we come against you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and we tell you to loose every mind, loose every soul, loose every heart in this place. May the love of God overwhelm us all. May we be moved by your power and by your strength alone. And we pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if there are some of you here that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord,